Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the role of between human and brand behavior. Today, we interrogate why the majority of entrepreneurs struggle to sustain the brands they build past 1,001 days and what can be done about it. We draw upon key research by Santam's 1,001 Days program, and today I'm joined by Leandy Streeter with Raise Corp. She'll be sort of co-hosting with me. Raise Corp is an organization dedicated to ensuring entrepreneurs accelerate their success past this 1,001 days. Welcome, Leandy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Tim. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
I'm really excited to have you on Cliff Central. I think I'm your first.
Yes, you are. And it's great.
Awesome. And we'll be joined also later in the show by with Farida Benjamin from Santam, as well as Nelisiwe Masongo from she's one of the pilot sort of case studies that they are working with inside of the Santam program. I'm so intrigued by the entrepreneurial journey. I consider myself an entrepreneur, but not really. I mean, essentially, I just write and share my ideas in the media. It's a very different proposition than building a logistics business and taking it from scratch, or building, you know, a cake business, or building this business that Gareth has built. And I like to celebrate Gareth because he's pushed really, really hard to get Cliff Central, and he's developed an amazing team around him, and I'm really impressed with what they've done. But your business as well, Raise Corp, I mean, that's the business of helping entrepreneurs is also, how long has Raise Corp been around?
Raise Corp has been around for quite some time. They've been around since the early 2000s. So we've been working with entrepreneurs and learning a lot of lessons along the way as well. So we are also in a position of scaling and high growth ourselves. So it's wonderful to also not just be, you know, telling or saying, but to be in the journey as well with entrepreneurs to share insights.
Okay, awesome. And you, do you love the world of entrepreneurship? Like, do you have a romance? Do you have an affair with it? Like, what's your relationship with entrepreneurship?
I absolutely do. I'm very passionate about people who have the drive and ambition to unlock value and to take accountability for themselves in doing so, and with that also making a difference and an impact. In today's world, we're also it's not just about a great idea. It's also not just about, you know, what am I selling and buying and selling, but it's also about how do I make a difference and how do I offer people a brand and develop a brand that's greater than my customers or my clients that they want to plug into. They want to be part of this. So for us, it's a real privilege working with entrepreneurs who have the vision, because, wow, it takes, you know, it's tenacious. You have to have the tenacity and the appetite to go out there and make it happen. And just to, you know, when it gets hard, it gets hard. It's tough.
Yes.
So, you know, how do you get up from there and make it happen? So that for us is inspiring as well. Every day I'm humbled.
And how long have you been with Raise Corp?
I've been with Raise Corp since November last year.
Okay.
But generally what happens with us is also the guys working with Raise Corp and at Raise Corp are entrepreneurs themselves. So, and they look for a very specific people to work with entrepreneurs. We have to be entrepreneurs. We work with blue-hearted entrepreneurs as well. So it's a level of understanding, compassion, empathy, but at the same time, you know, meeting the drive, the insights, and sharing lessons and encouraging and holding the space for people to really go out there and develop themselves and their businesses.
And what is one of the, before we dig into this conversation, one of the main things you've witnessed as you've sort of researched and explored this space?
I think for me, because it's very hands-on, I've had to learn to drop from the head into the heart a lot, because I was in management consulting before. So it's a lot of knowledge and IP and, you know, telling and learning and sharing other people's models and insights. But working with entrepreneurs at Raise Corp, it allows me to tap into my own journey. And the biggest lesson has been the shift. When people make the shift from you know, understanding and getting and unlocking certain constraints that they had that were standing in their way personally as well as professionally or from a business perspective in their own businesses, and you see them overcome that, that for me is extraordinary. It's an extraordinary thing to witness, and at the same time, when you see the patterns of these things happening not just with one but several entrepreneurs, you start realizing, okay, there's a trend here. This is where we're at currently. The economic climate is tough out there. People are facing these challenges. How do we support them through that? And in amongst our team, we also would discuss and share those things and say, okay, how do we collaborate in order to help, you know, enhance and make the shift greater and have more impact, but also respecting the journey at the same time.
Got it. Awesome. You know, Santam found that 52% of entrepreneurs are under sole proprietorship, and 79.4% have only 1 to 4 staff members. 23.9% of the businesses are run as partnerships, and 13.6% are family owned. Could you work with your family?
We have a, well, it depends on the, you know, in the role, because there's many, of course, you know, we always say when you go out there, you know, how do you raise the capital? Capital is a double-edged sword, because if it's given to you, you know, it runs out. You don't know how to make more. So, you know, when we're looking at startups, we're saying, okay, who have you tapped into? Friends, fools, and family.
Sure.
To raise the capital to get out there.
Friends, fools, and family.
Absolutely. And then in some instances, you know, it depends on the capability and the resources you require in your business. So, you know, does the family member have that resources? Is it long term? Is it temporary? But at the same time, there needs to be energy and there needs to be synergy. Can you work with one another?
Got it. You know, one of the things that I'm fascinated by when it comes to this entrepreneurship journey is how people underestimate what it takes. Like the sheer, I think bad bosses is one of the things that drive people into entrepreneurship. A lot of people are just not entrepreneurs. They just excited about not having a bad boss.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't that seem to be the case a lot of the time? People just don't like working for bad people, so they're like, let me just do my thing.
I think there's two main reasons why people start a business. The one is very much around, you know, an opportunity. I see an opportunity. I've developed some skills. I've either been in corporate or I've been in a business or I've worked for a really bad boss. But yet, you know, I see an opportunity and I want to jump out there and I know I can make the difference and I know I can go out there and I can, you know, gather the resources. I've got the skills and I can bring people together to make it happen and add value at the same time. And like, you can't offer, you know, there's no point in selling something if there's no value.
Exactly.
Then the other one is crisis. You know, if you're in a situation whereby you have to fend for yourself, you have to make a living, there's a means to an end here. You know, you have to sustain yourself, your family, dependents, if you have any. That is also a very quick starter to starting something and making it happen so you can develop yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. These are great insights. And if you've just joined us, we are speaking to Leandy Streeter from Raise Corp, who's going to be co-hosting with me today. And I really appreciate it again for you joining us. Right now, speaking of value, we have Nelisiwe Masongo on the line, who is one of SA's top investment and investment minds, and she's part of the Santam 1001 Day campaign. Nelisiwe, wait, welcome to the show.
Hi, Timothy. Good morning to the listeners. Thank you for having me.
If you want to follow Nelisiwe, you can follow on Twitter at bearrun_invest. Did you have a bad boss and decide to be an entrepreneur? What made you decide to make the leap?
Well, to be honest, I've never really had a job. I never saw myself sitting behind a desk all day, every day. I just felt like I was always business-minded, and I just had a passion for people. So, no, I've never had a bad boss because I've never really worked a day in my life.
So, are you a good boss?
Yes, I am. I really, really am. I put myself in people's shoes, so I think I'm a really good boss as well.
Awesome. Now, this Santam 1001 Days campaign, that's a lot of pressure. I thought to myself, you know, as I sort of partner with Santam on this campaign myself, I thought, you and Miriam, you guys are really putting yourself out there. Are you enjoying this pressure?
I am. I really, really am. It's great exposure for the company. I mean, Santam is an amazing company. So to be on their platform and to be recognized with them, I mean, it's phenomenal for the company.
Got it. And the beginning of your, you know, you know, your position. You know, you're in one of these fields where people often prize experience. Early on, how did you sort of overcome that challenge of being sort of young, and no matter how dynamic and how smart you are, I'm sure you came up against that.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. But I just feel like there's so much knowledge in books. So I did a lot of reading, sat many hours in the libraries, read a lot of documentaries as well. And what I did was, because there's a lack of actual employment experience, I actually one of the partners that we have, I'm a registered representative on the FSB. So on a legal level, I'm also covered. So it allows me to work in an environment with people that know more about investing, and allows me to grow as well.
Nice. And the name of your business, Bear Run Investments, how did you come up with the name?
I mean, I needed something catchy, something that was relating to financial markets. And anyone who knows the bear markets, when the markets goes down. So I just came up with it. It was very catchy. It was very unique as well. And everyone always asked me, why bear? Why not bull? Because bull is more positive. So it just sparks conversation as well.
Santam has found that there are five common traits that entrepreneurs and sort of challenges that entrepreneurs must embrace. One is coping with pressure. Two, adaptability. Mm-hmm. Three, self-confidence. Four, ambition. Five, people skills. Which are your top two strengths?
People skills, definitely. I've always been a people person. And then the second one would be being self-motivated. I don't know if you mentioned that. Because above all else, money comes and goes, people come and go, but at the end of the day, you have to have a strong willpower to carry on with the mission and your vision to grow your business at the end of the day.
Awesome.
So a question from my side would be, can you, and I think a lot of the listeners would also get a lot of value out of this, especially in their own journey, is there something that you can share with regards to a tough challenge that you overcame that speaks to that self-motivation where things got really tough? There's no consistency and, you know, you don't have an absolute guarantee that income is coming in for a certain amount of time. And that it's not for the faint-hearted. So is there something that you can share with us that you've gone through that you could share with others that they can learn from?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. Number one, you have to be self-motivated. Number two, form a solid support structure, because being an entrepreneur, it's a very lonely journey. So you have to have someone that you can talk to, or a mentor, or somewhere you can run to, almost like a safe house, in order to get assistance. And above all else, you need to have adequate branding, because branding is everything. It's the main thing that sustains a business. And it's what people recognize in your business as well.
Speaking of branding, you're a personal brand. And when it comes to, are you one of those that prefer sort of staying in the background, or are you leveraging your strengths and sort of putting yourself out there to draw attention to your company's brand?
Oh, definitely. I put myself out there because people need to see a face. They need to put a name to a face. So as much as Bear Run Investments, people know about the company, they need to know who the director is. They need to know about your story, because people draw inspiration from that. If people like you, then ultimately they'll like your business.
Good. And are you gunning for the cover of Destiny Woman magazine?
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. I personally look up to Miss Kanyin Jomo. You know, she is a phenomenal entrepreneur, and she's an amazing role model. And I actually subscribe to Destiny magazine. So maybe an article here and there, but in the long run, definitely the cover.
That's wonderful. Just finally, I want to know, do you have mentors?
No, I actually don't. I mean, I got to this place and to this point by myself, but it's something I am looking into, because a business it gets to the point where you hit a wall, and you have to overcome that wall, and you have to grow. So you can't do everything yourself. You have to reach out there and get advice from people who have been in the industry for a longer period of time. So it's something I'm actually working on.
Wow. And I love, you have wonderful energy. Thank you so much for being a part of this campaign and persevering. I'm looking forward to learning and sort of sharing the insights that you come up with on this journey as well. And good luck. Any final thing you want to say to the audience?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your time and thank you for having me. They really have to push. You have to persevere, follow your ambitions, follow your passions, because at the end of the day, entrepreneurship is one thing that can solve an entire economy, an entire country as well, because entrepreneurs are the ones that create employment.
Awesome.
So just persevere. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nelly Sue. You can follow her at bearrun_invest. Leanne, when you speak to people like Nelly Sue, I draw a lot of inspiration.
Absolutely. It is a very lonely journey. And, you know, what I respect is the fact that it's not for the faint-hearted. And she is one of those people with a blue heart that we often, that's what we look for at Raise Corp very much, is, you know, the guys and the ladies that are willing to go out there and they understand that it's about more than just themselves. It's about perseverance. One of the things that we also do is cheerlead. You know, they're the heroes because we understand. We've been there ourselves as well. You know, who do you reach out to? I never had mentors when I was doing, you know, busy in with my business. And so I went and got an entrepreneurial MBA. But what I was missing was the support and was somebody to just check in with and was somebody to bounce and co-create strategies. But ultimately, it's up to me to make it happen. And Nelisiwe, certainly, I really do hope that we look, you know, we see her on the cover of Destiny magazine, or at least a feature in Destiny magazine, also one of my favorite magazines. And another point that she highlighted very much is your personal brand. And nowadays, yes, of course, when you're scaling, it's about big data. It's how do you communicate to a lot of people and make sure that you get the message across, and you sell your value proposition and you put yourself out there. But it's also very much about building relationships. So in today's world, people are looking for authentic engagement versus just a mail shot of another email that just happened to have your name in there, but it's not really an authentic conversation. You know, it's a commercialized conversation.
We talked about, listed these five sort of key common traits and sort of challenges that entrepreneurs must sort of embrace. And let's talk about gender quickly. How important is timing? You know, if you know for a fact that next year you want to have a child, and you want to get married, you want to begin expanding your family. Is that an ideal time, or is it possible that people around you just need to rally around you? You know, what sort of pressure is there amongst the people around you to ensure that the timing isn't an issue?
I don't think there's an easy answer or a easy sort of very specific answer to that one. It's a bit of both. And it depends on who you are and what your business is about. So if you are a business that requires, let's say you're a lady and you've got a concern that a manufacturing concern or something that's, you know, heavily involved with logistics, or a business that requires a lot of your attention, especially if you are the brand, then of course the pressure is going to be high. So you need to say, okay, how am I going to manage this with, at the same time, raising a family? Or you might be fortunate in that you are in the position of having a business where you can say, okay, right now I'm going to grow to, I don't want to scale massively. I'm not going to hit the high growth ramp yet. I'm going to grow it to a lifestyle business to a point where I can manage my time. I can still engage with my customers. I can still deliver. I have the support around me. I'm able to bring in, which is usually a challenge, but it's also a very, very important journey, is letting go and saying, okay, I'm bringing in the right people, the right managers, and the right teams to support this growth, which allows me to step out of the business a little bit and work on it as opposed to being the business.
Sure.
So I don't think there's a clear cut, you know, answer to that one.
Sure.
It's very case by case, business dependent.
I think that's critically important. I mean, Santam found that 79.4% of businesses have between 1 and 4 employees. So it's pretty small mom and pop type operations. Only 1.8 have more than like 500 people. So
right.
We're talking about, when we speak about entrepreneurs in this context and building, we're talking about people who have a pretty much kind of on their own type of thing. And, you know, if you are starting up a graphics design business, or if you are a DJ, you know, or you're just out there trying to sort of like, you know, like myself, you know, in the media, and you just kind of work for yourself. Let's break down entrepreneurship. I want to be clear. You know, in a moment we're going to chat to Farida from Santam, but I just want to be clear In your mind, what is an entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a discussion everybody likes to have with regards to, you know, and the insights that come from that is so diverse. It's like,
yeah, because you have someone like Richard Branson and then you have someone like me.
Exactly.
Two different parts of the world.
For us, it's very much around, do you have a feasible, do you have the right to exist? Do you have an economic concern? So what that means is quite simply, you have an idea, you have a business idea. Does it add value? What's the value proposition? And can you sell it and make money from it? Otherwise, it's just an idea. It's something that doesn't necessarily add value to anybody, which means that you won't, you know, there's no reason to buy from you.
So if you add in value.
Absolutely.
And you can make money from it, you're pretty much an entrepreneur.
And you've proven that you've managed to go and get the capital to do it and that you have made sales. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, we're going to, as I said, if you're just joining us, we are talking, how do you get your business or your brand to last longer than 1,001 days? Because the vast majority of brands fail in that first 1,001 days. I think building a network is critical. If you can't build a network in that 1,001 days, you're going to be in serious trouble. What are some of the things you've learned about building a network?
So building a network is very much also it comes down to having an authentic discussion and having something to talk about and being able to tap into the heart of the person that you're speaking to. So if you have something that I believe is of value to me, so for instance, information, knowledge, podcasts for argument's sake, book, or in a way that I can digest the information that's going to add value to my life, I'm in. So if it means that my engagement with you is going to be great for my own business, then I've got then we've got a relationship in the first part. The second part is, can you deliver? So what's your promise?
Mm.
If you say this is my promise and you know and I buy into your promise, but you're not able to deliver when I'm expecting you to deliver without any communication, then you've broken the promise. So my heart no longer, the heart and the head is disconnected because my perception of value has been sort of broken, if I can call it that.
That's powerful. The heart and the head are disconnected.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate that particular perspective because that congruency is where you get authenticity.
Absolutely.
And speaking of authenticity, we have Farida Benjamin on the line from Santam. Welcome to Unbranded.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. We're really excited about this campaign. I have to be honest, when I first started the campaign, I was slightly reluctant because I'm like, there's so many people out there doing entrepreneurship, but you guys are doing it right. You're genuinely concerned. You're developing insights. You're developing critical sort of skills. You're learning from people. You're not saying that we know everything. So firstly, congratulations.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
And from a Santam perspective, the research that was done is what we want to share and make sure that everybody gets the same insight.
And I just want to know, out of the 606 entrepreneurs, how many were like township? How many were like, you know, Cape Town, living in Camps Bay? Because these are completely different worlds.
In terms of the hard and fast numbers, I won't be able to give you exactly, you know, 6 was in township, 5 was in Camps Bay. But it was a comprehensive research across the spectrum, looking at all types of entrepreneurs, from startups in the townships right through the guys opening stores in the Camps Bay and the like. But it's a completely comprehensive report that looks at each and every individual across the spectrum of South Africa.
Got
and
it.
The information is being shared on a monthly basis as well.
Okay. And, you know, you guys are probably learning things that you haven't had a chance to share yet as part of your research. Is there anything that you've learned so far that you want to share with us that's not published?
So in terms of the things that we've learned so far, in dealing with the two ladies, with Lalise Dewe and with Miriam, as we've learned that it was almost like part of the course of part of the research, is that passion and the people is a big part of the total journey. And working with these ladies, you actually see on a daily basis and on the video blogs how the reality of the situation actually portrays. In terms of the research that we've done, a lot of what we've seen in the two releases that we've done so far, can anybody be an entrepreneur and how to work with people? The research theoretically is proving through in terms of what we're finding with these two ladies as well. So all I can say to you at this point in time is over the next 6 months, from the time that you started, a lot more will be shared, and a lot of what we're learning is actually from real experience with the two ladies as well.
Have you guys sought to partner? You know, there's, I really believe strongly that there's so many people trying to make a difference. What we have joining the show, co-hosting with me today, is Leandy Streeter from Raise Corp. Have you guys reached out to phenomenal businesses like them to collaborate?
So at this point in time, what we are doing is we'll be embarking further and further, we're constantly reaching out within our own organization, which is a big organization as the Sanlam Group, but also further than that with our business partners, and creating the blog site as well, a lot for people to interact, and other business opportunities for other businesses to also become partners in this journey via this means as well.
Awesome. And moving forward, so when this campaign is ended, will you guys be publishing the insights into sort of, you know, beyond online, into sort of like reports, books, documentaries? Will you have me hosting a documentary where I interview you on the beach in Cape Town?
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
So the campaign in itself, the 6 months of this campaign, is part of a longer journey. So it's not intended to be 6 months and everything stops and we don't go back to actually help people throughout the rest of this journey. It's an interactive campaign. And I think that going forward, what we will be doing is we will be publishing the information. More information as it comes along will be published. And I think it will evolve from the six-month journey that we're on right now.
Awesome. Farida, we really appreciate you joining us. That was Farida Benjamin from Santam, based in you're based in Cape Town, right?
Yes, I'm based in Cape Town.
Okay. Awesome. And you are the head?
I'm the head of the direct and referral channel of business. And in this space, along with the biggest Santam, we all in favor of this initiative, and we will make sure that we also engage via our intermediated broker network to avail all this information to them as well.
Awesome.
Which they already have access to at this point in time.
Thanks, Rita. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll speak soon on the blog, maybe even.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
Take care. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye.
We're talking Santam's 1001 Day Campaign. That was Farida Benjamin. And we have Leandy Streeter in co-hosting with me. We're talking, how do we get businesses to last past 1001 days? How do we sustain brands? We're going to give you more specific tips after the break.
CliffCentral.com.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861 276 453.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and this is, again, Unbranded, the show where we unpack human and brand behavior. Today we talk about specifically, how do you make sure your business lasts more than 1,001 days, that critical point that research has shown most business fail by. To last past 1,001 days, there are a number of things you need, and just in terms of recapping, you need to learn to, there are five common traits that Santam has found, that you need to be able to cope with pressure. You need to be able to adapt. You must have self-confidence, ambition, and you must have people skills. And today I'm joined to have this conversation by Leandy Streeter from Raise Corp. And we're going to hone now and going to give you some very specific tips. Very specific tips. Fortunately, this podcast platform, you can rewind and go back and really get some key insights from early in the show. We've talked to an exciting entrepreneur, Nalisiwe Masango from Bear Run Investments. We've talked to Farida Benjamin from Santam. And so you can go back and dig in. So I won't spend too much time there, but I want to find out from Leandy. You have some top tips that you want to share with us and what you guys have learned at Raise Corp. By the way, give us Raise Corp's website.
Raise Corp's website is www.rai, Z, raise, corp, C-O-R-P dot com.
Okay, awesome. And, you know, most people, there are a lot of people who know the founder, Alan.
Alan Raise, yes.
Yeah, I always struggle with this whole Alan or Alan. It's Alan, A-L-L-O-N.
Alan, yes.
Okay, cool. Your let's start with number one. You're going to give us three tips?
Yeah, I'm going to touch on three questions, important questions to ask yourself. And okay. Then in there, I'm going to weave one or two tips
awesome.
As well.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. So with regards to the biggest question you need to ask yourself, if we're looking at the business, do you have an economic right to exist? And what that means is this greater than just an idea? Can you go out there and make a sale? Have people got the appetite, or do they see the value in what they're selling? And have you got the appetite to go out there and make the sale and not expect people to come to you? Also, you need to get out there and make it happen. That's the first thing. So what is your economic right to exist? And have you made not just one sale, but a few sales? It was interesting. I recently spoke to somebody who said we were chatting about their business and what they wanted to do. And my question to them was, have you guys made a sale yet? And he's like, no, well, we're kind of figuring it out. But these things are coming. They're sitting in a container across the ocean. And he's like, well, have you guys worked out like how many you need to sell to actually make some money? Well, no, we haven't. So I thought, okay, cool. Go away and think about it. Do you have an economic right to exist? That's the first thing. And can you make it happen? The second thing is around brand and value proposition. What is the promise? So what value are you adding to your clients authentically, not just on a mass scale where you expect sales to happen for the sake of it? It's very much about the conversation and the promise that you're making to me. And can you deliver on that promise? And now that touches on capability with regards to operations. Do you have the capacity? Do you have the human resources? Do you have the equipment? Do you have the skills? And, of course, capital. And then when it comes to capital, that's always tricky. Where do you get it? Do you have access to it? Is it friends, fools, and family? Or do you go out there? Are you at a point where you've proved your economic right to exist, where you can start attracting angel investors or VCs? The third thing is also, it depends very much on the entrepreneur. It's a very personal thing as well, because quite often it's an extension of yourself. Your passion, tenacity, drive, and most importantly, you need all of those fundamental things to achieve the vision. Without a vision, where are you going? So what is the goal? What is the objective? And then, of course, the importance of finance is really important. You don't need to be a finance expert. You don't need to be an accountant, but you do need to be financially literate. So go out there and do the short courses. Engage with companies like Raise Corp and other incubators or accelerators and companies that are involved in the entrepreneurship space, offering education and training on, you know, the basics, what you need to know in order to understand your balance sheet, your income statement, and, you know, are you making a profit?
Well, you know, the thing about, I want to go back to your second point quickly about the brand proposition. Yeah. You know, when you look at it from an individual perspective, specifically if 79% of the business are wanting two or three people, your personal value proposition is critical. Let's use us for an example. Let's get real personal for a moment. What is your personal proposition to Raise Corp?
So my personal proposition, my value proposition to Raise Corp is very much my life philosophy is about adding value and making a contribution in a positive way so that it enables others or us collectively to move forward. The moment I feel that I'm not adding value, I have to question why. If I feel I'm not able to make a contribution, the question is, why am I not able to make a contribution? Is it because of, you know, what do I need to improve? What do I need to look at in myself to do better than yesterday, and where did I go wrong? Which is also two philosophies that we have at Raise Corp. We call it where we went wrong and what can we, and being better than yesterday. So those two things are my personal values, and it's been with me my entire life, which of course sparks my passion.
Sure. And it comes through very strongly. And if you know, if you're listening and you want to know how do I break down your personal proposition, what Leander said is so powerful. My personal proposition is to take human behavior and brand ideas, very complex ones, and simplify them, share them in public, to be able to inspire people to be able to lead better and create better. And I think that over time, you know, part of you developing and why this 1001 days is a critical point It's because you're developing these things.
Absolutely, Tim. And that is, Timothy, that is so important what you've just said. It's a complex world out there. And, you know, we get complicated as well. So your value system, simplify, in order for your clients to understand the value system in your business as well, which will drive your value proposition and your brand at the end of the day. So that is what you are doing there is a very, very important thing for businesses and individuals to communicate to the community at large what that is.
Let's talk about this complex dynamic of, and in South Africa you really can't avoid it, of having to partner with a number of women, a number of people of color, people of color having to partner with people of, because you guys, you're not seen as color, but you have a color. But my point is, all jokes aside, is that, you know, the race dynamic, cultural dynamic is a real, real, real issue. I happen to enjoy it. I happen to enjoy diversity. I happen to enjoy learning new languages and exploring outside of my own sort of background. But not everyone is as good at it, not everyone enjoys it. Do you have any tips? You seem to enjoy it. Do you?
No, absolutely. We do have a color. It's called the blue heart.
There you go.
And it's very much about the individual. It's about the person. And it's about the value that they can add to themselves and to the economy at large. So we do assist large corporates with enterprise development, aligned to the VEE codes, et cetera, et cetera. And then also supply chain development. So very much helping entrepreneurs and big business align their values in terms of having to deliver on their promise by helping entrepreneurs meet the minimum criteria and excel in that to deliver, you know, profitably and well. So not breaking that brand promise. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it at this time, and I can and I have the capacity. So it's very much about how do we ramp up and scale up. Because, you know, big deals can also kill a business.
Sure.
So it's very important to recognize that. And then, of course, then we have another program at Race Corp where it's very much there is only the blue heart that matters. And we look at very much, you know, how do we, if it comes down to, you know, you've got legislation and you have to work around it, or with it, rather, as opposed to around it, how do we do that and how do we help companies structure in order to achieve their goals and their vision?
Got it. You know, I'm interested. When your blue heart people are speaking isiZulu and the other ones are speaking Portuguese and another one's speaking Afrikaans, how do you get these blue hearts into seeing the fact that, you know what, we do have blue hearts? Because, you know, I'm always fascinated by these hurdles that oftentimes are not really there. They seem to be there, but they're not really, really there. How do we knock down these hurdles and have a conversation about the blue heart so we can work together?
It's very much about purpose, I think, at the end of the day. You know, if we're aligned with the vision, that's why vision is so important. It's about understanding what the vision is, what the goal is, what the purpose is. Generally, most blue hearts all have a similar value system. They're all passionate. They're tenacious. They have vision. So it's about facilitating the conversation where we can see value in the exchange from one another. And at the same time, being able to have the difficult conversation, walking out of there, having and finding the roles that the individuals would play in achieving a greater outcome. So it's knowing, okay, well, these are my skill sets. I'm really great. I speak Portuguese. It means I have a Portuguese network. Somebody has an offering and a value proposition that speaks into that. Awesome. Okay, well, now I can take that value proposition to my network. The person speaking isiZulu now has a Portuguese client that they can take their value. You know, there's an economic concern there. That's great. And you know, whether you're male or female, there's all sorts of interesting little nuances and values and insights that everybody can offer. No one person has all the answers. You have to collaborate with one another. And that in order for that to be effective, there has to be diversity. Because if there's not diversity, we're all heading in one direction and we don't know if we're going in the right direction. So friction causes...
Yeah,
you know, the
flowering,
right, absolutely, the opportunity to look at things at different angles and move in the right direction.
Wow. Kevin on WeChat and on Twitter, we've been chatting about, you know, understanding where do you get the startup cash specifically. You know, there are a lot of sort of places you can go, and we know that, depending on the business type, etc. But what are some specific places that are specific links that he could go to begin exploring that now?
So the first thing that I'm going to say is friends, fools, and family, the three F's.
Okay, so let's go with friends. Let's say I've got two friends and they all need airtime so they can't even. So they struggle. So we got to cross out friends because they need airtime.
No, absolutely.
Fools are venture capitalists or who?
Fools are people who believe in your vision and buy into you and believe in your value proposition and believe that they're buying into something greater than themselves. And in many instances, it's much more about the entrepreneur at that stage. I mean, Alon tells his story from Raise Corp quite often how he got started. It was very much about he started a business, it went very well, and then he started another business and it failed. And his mentor, who was his angel investor at the time, didn't say, okay, well, that's it, deal's done. You know, they invested in him. His mentor invested in him, and he still got the relationship 12 years down the line. So it's very much also about the individual, that buying into the passion and the tenacity and the drive and the vision. Because, of course, if you don't have a vision, you can have all the passion in the world. You don't know where you're running to. Very much with our entrepreneurs as well, we look at them. They've got certain milestones they need to achieve. And we sit there, you know, and we want them to win because we believe in the individual. We can see what they're capable of doing, because I have a lot of respect for the ladies and the gentlemen that make it work, and they come in there and they've turned 250K, 300K, 500K, 700K, we've hit a million, and then we get a drop. But then that's okay, because we pick it right up back up again, because you've got economic and, you know, forces pushing against you. So that's the first thing. So the next thing is, obviously, if you have a business case that you have managed to develop and you've managed to make some sales and you can prove your right to exist, DTI, jobs, funds, all of those guys, government is obviously looking at investing in entrepreneurship, and the small economy is a big concern at the moment, or a big deal rather than a concern. It's very exciting. It's a great space to play because that's where we believe that, you know, a big part of South Africa will win if that is inspired and the right environment is created for it to flourish. And then the other thing is when you get to a point where you're really ramping up and you're ready for high growth, high impact, and you need capital to scale, then you would be looking at your venture capitalists specifically.
Got it. And on your website on Raise Corp, are there funding links? Are there links where people can go?
We don't have that specifically on our Raise Corp website as such, because we believe very much in enabling our entrepreneurs to develop and raise capital themselves, and then through our own networks, link them up when they're ready with the right venture capitalists or potential funding opportunities, specifically when it comes to things like the DTI, the Jobs Fund, etc.
These various funds. Okay. And can Kevin email you directly?
Yes.
If he has a... Okay, what's your email address?
It's leandis@raisecorp.com.
Wow. Leandi, you've been really wonderful, and I'm trying to recruit you. How much do we have to pay you to come back every so often?
It would be such a pleasure to come and talk with you and co-host with you. It's a passion of mine. I believe that there's great things to come, and there are great things happening in our economy, and there are magnificent people making it happen, and every day is a privilege. So I'm very happy to share that. Yeah.
Thank you for helping our listeners understand what it takes to get past this 1001 days. I want to thank you. Farida Benjamin, as well as Nelisiwe Masango, for their contributions to today's show. We really believe strongly in giving insights and being very specific about what it takes. We'll continue to add to this conversation in the future. Right now, we want to shift to our cyber health feature, where we chat to Rianette Lebowitz about this exciting world of wearables. It can be completely overwhelming. I see you have on a wearable today.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited to talk about this because I've actually experienced it for almost 2 weeks. I've been wearing this specific one, so I can't wait to tell everybody about it. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm Rianette Lebowitz from SafetyNet, and I'm glad that you're joining SafetyNet's Cyber Health feature, because today we're talking about wearables. And, you know, when I looked at the trends and when I looked at the statistics out there, it was very, very fascinating. So in an article titled, "People Want a Smartwatch That Doesn't Make Them Feel Dumb," I really thought it's a cool title, and it was written by Emma Court, published on 18 April on MarketWatch.com. And a smartwatch should add value to your life instead of just disrupting it and taking you away from your daily, you know, activities. So some statistics they quote is wearable device shipments are expected to increase by more than 38% this year to 110 million, and that surpasses or will surpass 200 million by 2019, according to data from industry tracker IDC, and that was put out last month. Still, this represents a second in a significant slower growth period relative to the early growth in the space. And if you look around, you'll see more and more people adopting the technology and especially using it for, you know, tracking their fitness levels and so forth. Well, with the Huawei WeBand, and that's what Huawei band that I've been using for almost 2 weeks, I've actually really experienced how it has impacted my life. It has distracted me so now and then because it's really cool. And let me tell you more about it. So the Huawei band is less is more. That's what they say. They describe it as the perfect embodiment of minimalist aesthetics. And I think it's a beautiful way to describe it. The seamless steel rim and the circular design exude elegance. And it is appealing because it comes in black, white, and cream. And I've been wearing my beautiful cream version for, like I said, about 2 weeks. And I am really enjoying it and the interaction with it and also the responses I get when people see when it lights up. You know, it just lights up when there's a call coming in, or it actually reminds me to get up and get moving if I've sat too long. And that's one of the parts that I really find fascinating, because you don't realize how long you sit still. And sometimes you're in a presentation. Or the other night I was cooking. We had people over for dinner, but I was standing cooking for 2 hours, and then all of a sudden it vibrated on my arm and said, "You have to keep moving." I thought, but I've been moving for two hours, but it's just my arms moving, you know, it's not my body. So it's more than just a tech accessory. The Huawei band can help you monitor daily activities, automatically identify how you are working out, and provide real-time feedback when you need it most. Even while you sleep, it works to give you insights and feedback, and that was scary. The first night I slept with it, I realized that only like a third, not even a third of my night's sleep was deep sleep. So that's quite nice to see how you should change your behavior to get better sleep and better rest. And we know if we listen to Timothy's show with Dr. Swad that we need our rest. So extraordinary touch experience. It's also quite interesting when you start looking at the technology that the scratch and break resistant screen delivers a full touch screen experience and is highly durable. So it's a sturdy companion, and just a simple motion of your hand activates the screen to give you timely feedback. Additionally, it obviously goes where you go, but you don't need to take it off when you take a shower. You don't need to take it off when you're running through the rain. It is actually waterproof and dustproof. So another feature which I really like is the fact that this little stick figure, which I mentioned earlier, keeps on reminding me to be more active. And it also tells you how many calories you've burnt that day. So that's quite shocking to see, you know, that's only 8 so far this day for today. So be careful with that. But there's so many more features with this specific band that we can highlight. But I wanted to also touch on some trends when we look at wearables and where it's going in the next 5 years. So Fool.com shared an article called 7 Wearable Tech Trends to Watch Over the Next 5 Years. And this is as a result of Tractica recently, who recently produced a report where Aditya Kaul shed some light on upcoming wearable trends. And he shared this with Motley Fool on this website. So the first one that I want to mention is that wearables are just getting started. It's going to grow exponentially. The trends are quite scary. So if you're in business and you are in tech and you love tech, it might be a good place for you to be. Wearables are about to hone even more in on healthcare. And we've seen the amazing trends and the amazing technology out there, how it's literally saved lives of people noticing their heartbeats going up and how they get to the doctor in time and so forth. Then smart clothing is already here and it's about to experience tremendous growth. And on the one hand, it's quite exciting. On the other hand, quite scary if you look at dresses that can show your Twitter feed and, you know, all these crazy things. But how exciting it is for the young ones. And then with many wearable devices currently pack as many sensors in as possible, future wearables will focus on specific tasks, leaving smartwatches to become more of a platform-based central hub. So that will be quite interesting in terms of monitoring our daily lives and so forth. And the last one that I can mention today is, while the use of virtual reality is quickly becoming a major focus for tech companies, so will holograph headsets. While on one hand, wearables will help us learn more about our bodies and be inward-looking, smart holographic handsets will let us explore and interact with the outside world and the universe like never before. So that reminds us, we have to be responsible with the technology we use. We have to be responsible digital citizens. And we invite you to please share your thoughts on this on our platform at SaveTNet. It's SaveTNet, where we want to hear what you think about the fact that you'll be able to connect to the outside world via holographic technology. And please be safe on the wires. All the best for the week and have fun.
Thank you so much, Rianette, as always. And Leandri, by the next time I see you, I'm sure you'll be wearing a T-shirt that has your Twitter feed. We need to get you involved at that level. So we're looking forward to that. Thanks a lot for the wearable trends that are coming up. We'll be back next week with Unbranded. We're looking forward to unpacking further ideas when you can look forward to our podlets with Dr. Tara Swart, neuroscientist from MIT, who will be chatting on how specifically social media impacts the brain.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.